Who would you like to see Devin fight next?
Teofimo.
Teofimo. All right, so you heard what Mike just said.
No, nigga. I ain't calling him Teofimo. No, that's not his fucking name. I fucked up. The name is Mr. Lopez.
Y'all heard what the champ said. They running scared.
Teofimo.
I did not call him. I called this Mr. Lopez. They're trying to fucking put words in my mouth.
You said it, Mike.
No, I did not. I did not. Why you fucking with me? I'm high.
Welcome to Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. I'm Zab Judah, and I'm here with
Mike Tyson.
And I'm here with
Devin the Dream Haney.
And the Driven.
And I'm here with
BH the Great.
Oh, we got a bunch of big time names here now. This is gonna be so interesting.
This is fun. The champ is in the building. Wow.
To us, brother. What's going on, man?
It's good, but I'm happy to be here, you know.
But what you got on the horizon? You know, I called you because of the situation.
It's a lot of big fights to be made. I'm one of the ones that's calling for these top guys. I'm the ones that's calling for these fights. I don't see nobody calling for me, but I'm the main one calling for these fighters.
Well, the gentleman we had here, TFO.
Teofimo Lopez.
Said he would kick your ass, and that's why I got you on the phone.
Yeah, but he just said that in the interview. But in reality, when it comes to actually putting a fight together, that's not the case at all.
Listen, if Everton did something, you would have probably knew his name. He's around here acting like he's the king of something and he's the king of nothing. This is the best motherfucker in the world right now and the most feared man in boxing. Similar to both what you gentlemen experienced coming up. Everybody say everything, but they don't say that they want to fight, not next, but right now. He's asking for everybody right now, Mike. I mean, you got to know how this shit feels. You, Zab, both too.
100%.
You guys have reached the pinnacle of this sport. And everybody plays the politics, but
yeah,
now
I know the game. Everybody talks shit, but nobody,
everybody plays the politics. But now with social media, you know, fighters like him are able to have companies. He started. He's young. He owns his own company, and he's able to dictate and negotiate fights on his terms. So it's such a unique situation, him being a millennial. But the more that his career goes, you know, these are times that will define his legacy. Being able to get in the fight at the right time.
Well, this is the time that, you know, I have to agree with you on it. This is the time where I see more fighters, even like Floyd. I have to give them this. They're more enterprise orientated than we were when we were fighting.
Right.
You know,
right.
So much enterprise. And they have connection. Now, we had connection, but we were playing games.
Right.
Yeah, we were playing.
Yeah. You were trailblazing. You guys were all trailblazing, you know. And it's not even a blueprint. It's a green print. You know, and you've said it time and time again. It was, you know, we said shout out to you who you told Javonte Davis to take the opportunity as a fighter to reach out to another fighter, put the lawyers together and negotiate. And, you know, from my perspective, that's the way to go.
So let's get right to it. Who do you want?
Man, it's so many of them. It's Teofimo Lopez, it's Ryan Garcia, and it's Tank Davis, and then it's me. Them is the top four dogs in the lightweight division and in boxing. And them is the fights to be made. Either or, whichever one. The main fight that I want is Teofimo because that's for all the belts. That'll be the real undisputed king. Ryan Garcia, that would be a huge fight, of course. Tank Davis, that would be a huge fight, of course. But I want all the belts. Right now, in the point of my career, I'm making great money. But right now, I'm chasing the belt.
So, Pops, what's the hold up with these fights that's being made with
promoters?
Lopez?
Promoters are trying to extort on the side.
No, it's not. I wouldn't even say it's the promoters. I think that it's the fighters.
Well,
because
the fighters, then they should be stripped.
Exactly. So, I agree.
Then that goes back to the organizations who have certain loyalties, or certain biasness towards certain fighters, and then allow them. Too. But then again, with social media and platforms like you have here and voices like Zap, you know, that stripping shit and that not giving the fighters their just, like Mike McCallum, who was a hell of a fighter and one of our trainers, who said, he said to me, says,
Mike, nobody wanted to fight Mike.
Yeah, now
nobody.
See, but Mike told me, he says, don't let them do what they did to him.
Killed him.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's why I campaign. I do as much as I can, you know, about him. You know what I mean? Just to let people know that he is the baddest motherfucker in the world right now.
But it's at the point to where it's like fighters don't even care about the belts no more, because for example, Ryan Garcia just fought a title eliminator to fight me for the world title, and he want to go fight somebody else. He want to go a different direction. So it's like, this is the first time in history that I ever done heard where two fighters, meaning Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia, fight for a title eliminator, fight to go fight for the world title, and he still don't want a shot at the world title.
I don't know what, you know, what rules should be made for fighters can't avoid fighters and have to fight their mandatory. What rule has to be made?
Well, that would be the same as if when you had the opportunity to fight Burbick, you know, and you decided to go for someone else, or Zab, when you had a top opportunity to be a world champion as a mandatory. When Devin had an opportunity to be a mandatory, it was against what was to be considered the best, one of the best fighters in the world, and Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. And Devin stepped up to the opportunity. And unfortunately for the people, as fans, didn't get a chance to see Devin fight Lomachenko, right? Because Lomachenko decided to opt and become a franchise champion. The people don't understand it, but it's a way of glorifying a duck. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, you know, the platforms like this, we get a chance to tell our story.
Well, all that he went through right now, would you fight, what's his name, the guy you just mentioned?
Lomachenko? Of course. I think that would have been a perfect fight for me. I've been saying that Loma is beatable. I kept saying it over and over and over and over again, and people wasn't listening. People
pull
was like,
pull up your DMs and show them how you've been DM. We've been DMing Loma for forever. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
But even more than DMing, like, we didn't reach out plenty of times trying to make the fight happen, and he didn't want to make the fight happen. Well, that's when the WBC made up a franchise title. Exactly. Not even a franchise belt, a franchise title. And that was, they elevated Loma to be the franchise champion, and that's when I fought for.
Fighters don't need no one.
Well, that's why I said pull up the DMs, because as a promoter and being one of the youngest promoters in the game, with a belt, the only thing you can do is reach out to the fighters. That's the only thing he can do as a businessman.
Only thing a fighter can promote is himself.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Right. Other than that, he's working for somebody else.
So this is what the DM say. My first DM was January 14th.
So, Mike, you know how to read.
We in the DM. We in the DM. This is getting good now.
October 31st contract.
It's going down in the DM.
We'll help you. I need you at all. Oh, man.
Can't lie.
We need to kick Lomachenko versus Ohaney. Pay-per-view, baby. I'm available.
Still lying.
I heard Lopez is trying to back out of a fight. Lomo Haney would generate millions.
Uh-oh.
The last thing
he said was, I will keep in mind.
I will keep it in mind. You know what I'm saying? So,
see, I was just a different kind of fighter. I would say something, yeah, you keep my dick in your mind. I would just humiliate their mothers and sisters. I'm just an asshole. I just have no dignity when it came to fighting and fucking with somebody's head.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a testament. It's a testament to a fighter that, you know, like I always say, you guys paving the way, and him growing and maturing, taking your advice with the Lomas of the world, the Teofimos of the world, and to be professional with them as much as you possibly can.
You're going to get your chance to fight them.
And make it happen. Yeah.
You're going to get your chance to fight them, but fight them with the most interest. You know, you have to, this is all about, you have to take care of your family. This right here is just a platform to take care of your family. That's all fighting is for.
But
what I feel like is, there's so many fights to be made out there that we need to make these fights happen now, because, you know, a couple of years down the line, it's going to be some new fighters. Exactly. It's going to be some more fighters.
But
it's going to be some
more fighters. Fight you. What I did when the guys were avoiding me, I just kept fighting, kept sharp.
Right, then. That's right.
They weren't going to do me like Sugar Ray Leonard was such a master, and he'll wait you out 3, 4, 5 years. You know what I mean? You get slow, then boom, he'll jump on you.
Unfortunately for them, Devin is younger than everybody.
Yeah, that's good too, but it's not about age, it's about desire.
Exactly.
If he still have the same desire, then he's still special.
I respect.
You know what it is, cuz too? You know, you guys had opportunity, and you guys see me, I kind of did the same kind of thing. We went, when it was time that I wanted to go get the champion, and I called the champion out, but he was going left on me, I went and fought two, three guys and trashed them to make the champion look at me, to make everybody go, whoa. Zab is still here.
See, but now we got so many internet thugs and reporters that's be talking shit. So now it's like, oh, I go fight somebody. It's like I just went and fought Gamboa. Nah, they don't value Gamboa. But Gamboa fought Tank and had a tough fight with Tank. And I go in there and I go in there and I don't get touched. Now it's Gamboa was washed out. Gamboa dominated. Was this, Gamboa was that.
Dominated.
Yeah. So it's like,
in a way that he's never been dominated before, respectfully. Tank had a couple black eyes. Terrence Crawford got buzzed. You know what I mean? And Champ was looking just like he's looking at the end of the fight. And, you know, like you said, it's about feeding your family. So the first thing that we learned coming into it is to hit and not get hit.
Right.
That's defense. Boxing. That's boxing.
That's defense. That's it. Boxing.
If I was to go in there and I was to go in and knock a guy out cold, but I took some punches and I took a beating in the process, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be happy with that performance. If I went in there and I just boxed clean, didn't get touched, didn't get hit clean, and hit him multiple times, that's a perfect performance for me.
I've been around Devin from day one, and that's if I see Devin start getting hit back and forth and punching and slugging, that's not Devin's style. Devin ain't never hit. That's not his style. He's a clean boxer. You know what I mean? Stick to your script. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, that's this or that. Man, this got you to the top. That's why you champ of the world.
That's the name of the game.
That's it. Win. Keep winning.
It's called it was fighting. That's what it'd be called fighting.
Right.
Yeah, fighting. It's called fighting just from a slang. Yeah. It's so much more than fighting. This
boxing, baby. The skill.
That's the art. That's the art.
Yeah, yeah, this is something, baby. That's what it skill. Is. The art.
That's why they hate you. The skill
for sure.
Art.
For sure.
Them skills paying the bills, man.
I watched you sparring with Shakur Stevenson. And that body, boom, boom, boom. That's what you got to do all night on him. Mm-hmm. You know, that body should come. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do with those mm-hmm. fast guys. Just mm-hmm. keep on hitting them there all day.
Yeah. Devin, I love when Devin all be night. Aggressive, boom, 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 too. Boom, boom, I be boom. Watching when Devin get aggressive.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
See, yeah, yeah. See, that's what's the difference between me and these other fighters, that I could do it all. I can box. I can bang. But in the process, I'm still smart. I still got ring IQ. I didn't been in there with the best of the best of the best, and I done been around the best, like you, like Zab. And so that's just what separates from these guys.
I respect that. I mean, when I was young, I used to like being around Ray. I used to like just being around them. I told my friends y'all was around. I had pictures with them showing off and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you guys are heroes to the community, man, because those are times that it just gives, like Devin, we were there, and just gives us that much more, it gave us that much more motivation just mm-hmm. being around and seeing you guys, seeing the cars and seeing the commitment that you guys had, you know, to the sport. And when I say that, you know, people, reporters, and, you know, give shit to the fighters. But to be a fighter and to get in the ring, man, takes a hell of a commitment, man. You know, just to show up on fight fucking night. You dig what I'm saying?
You have to
on
be,
either
listen,
side, on both fucking sides.
Listen, dig.
Underrated.
And I know people privately would agree to me, but they wouldn't say it publicly. It's a form of insanity. It's a small form of insanity involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go in the ring with a guy you don't even know, never did nothing to you, and then you want to kill him like he fucking attacked your family or something? Yeah. That's called discipline.
Yes.
And that's what people don't understand. This is our art. You know, there's no emotion involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it causes so much emotion to people watching it.
Would you consider a genius? Like, did you consider at when you were in your sport as a genius, or is it anything that you felt genius like, or you?
I felt divine.
Divine.
Yeah, I felt I was a god from war, and God placed me here to do this and to represent Him. And
I feel like that too, though.
I feel like I was designed to do this.
And I believe the reason I lost, God was jealous of me because I was getting too famous and big, and He had to put me in my place. I was a sick dude when I was fighting, man. I was really sick. Yeah. I believed in mythology and all that shit. I just used that as my ammunition and my inspiration to fight.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Never been beat. Word up. I've been punished, never been beat, not by human.
Like they say, Jordan, when he would have games, he would try to like make up reasons to like, all right, I'm about to go for 60 because a reporter said this about me, or he would like make up reasons to go in there and play even harder.
Do you? Can you see? How old are you?
22.
Whew, but at least this man, when you get older, you realize how fragile the human mind is. And how gentle our security is, and how insecure the human mind is. But it's so powerful; it runs the world. But it's such afraid of itself. What is it afraid of? That's what I never understood. What is the consciousness afraid of that doesn't allow it to reach its highest potential? Now that's just what I thought.
Yeah.
But they still, that's what I mean, they still champions at 22 years old and stuff. And they have your thing. It's just, I'm
the youngest champion since you.
How do you handle that, man?
Right.
It was just too much going on, man. Because I just always wanted to be the guy from the neighborhood that nobody fucked with. Not because he could fight, but he could fight, but he was a cool nigga. He could wear his jewelry and his clothes, and nobody fucked with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was my journey. That's what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened to me.
Well, I mean,
you know, this is what happens to me.
Well, legend has it, and you've been open about it, and that's why I say just meeting you and then your story, because the legend has it is that you have all the talent in the world, and the one thing was drugs or drinking or partying or something like that. So we took that, and then with being with Floyd, and Floyd being in there, and obviously him saying he doesn't drink or smoke, and Devin Rowe with that he was like, you know, you can have all the bitches, the big houses, the cars and shit, but you just stick to your craft, don't smoke or drink. And that was pretty much the blueprint from, or the green print from what you said. You know, from what we heard, right, Deb?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, I see you guys, like I said, as heroes and legends, man, who've paved the way for the new guys to come along and revolutionize what you guys have worked
hard about. And what we paved the way for, independent enterprise.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
100%.
DHP.
Independent enterprise.
Yeah.
I feel like me being 22 years old and I got a Rolls Royce outside, I got a mansion, I got as much money as I want right now, and I could do what I want when I want, and I'm doing what I love. I'm blessed. I feel like I'm blessed.
How are you dealing?
I'm forever grateful.
How are you dealing with it?
I don't know. I just feel like I've been here. I seen all this coming. Like I knew that all this was going to come. I knew I was going to have money. I knew I was going to have fame. I knew I was going to have belts. I knew that this time was going to come. So it's like, it's here. So
well, listen, it's easy. Even though you have all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only reason people pay attention to you because you're the champion.
Exactly, and that's what I love.
See people
to do.
In the street with all that stuff, people don't even care about them.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make them even hate them more.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
1,000%.
You're the champion. That's different.
And that's what makes
that's big time different.
That's what made me work so hard to continue to stay the champ, and you know, get even more. I want all the belts. It's not only about money. It's not only about fame. You know, it's about legacy. And I want my name to live on much longer than I ever will. I want my name to be mentioned with the greats.
Undisputed.
It will be.
Undisputed.
You know,
what's up next?
That's good. That's not harder to make. It's harder to be with the good than it is with the great.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Like, elaborate on that more.
You know, I met a lot of great people, but they weren't good. You know what that mean? They were great. Everybody bowed down, but they had good hearts. They were compassionate and shit.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Wow.
Oh, no, you got to get out and get it, man. You know what I'm saying? And take every day as a blessing because it's a present, you know? And work from where you are. You know what I'm saying? Like
100%.
Yeah, work from you are. Like, you know, to see you and I say to watch you and to see you with your daughter on the tennis court and shit.
Remember, right here, you're right looking out your window.
Right, right. And then to see you out there, and then I was like, whoa. I was like, man. Because, you know, you hear shit, you hear the stories and shit like that, like you all fucking partying. But listen. It was like 5 or 6
Yeah,
in the
but
morning.
Listen. And no one, my wife has said, who's that? I said, his son's going to be world champion soon.
Yes, sir.
Just like he's becoming world champion, I'm preparing her to be world champion.
Right.
Yes, sir. Sure. And that's why
you're
I said
doing the same.
That's
yeah.
why I say the green print that you've, you know, you've maintained resiliency and through the whole thing, you know, and been an example for your kids to be better, you know.
That's all, listen, all you my kids are better than me now.
Right. Great.
Right now, my kids are better than me, you know, because at my daughter, she's 12. I'm locked up at 12. Ain't that something? My daughter 12, I'm locked up at 12.
Right.
Wow.
And she's a smart ass at 12. Spoiled, have everything.
Bless you.
I used to rob children like that. That's now I raise children like that.
Crazy.
Yeah, life is crazy.
You had him boxing a little bit for a while. Do you still?
No, he just was hitting the mitts and stuff, okay. You know. I don't know. These guys sometimes don't understand what fighting is. Fighting is commitment. Fighting is sacrifice.
Yeah, okay. A lot of sacrifice.
You know, how you gonna, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible. How can you just say, you have to have it in your blood to just want to be the best. That's why I say money is not it. Money is not going to help you become champion. The desire to be the best is.
Well, see, he had the desire.
I know. The desire.
But it was, ironically, the way we found out, or at least that I saw it, was we were on the football field, and Devin was the running back. And he's like the best running back in the league. He gets like probably 4 touchdowns or something a game. And mm-hmm. the quarterback, his father is a coach. And, you know, and so the quarterback gets a couple touchdowns. And you know what I mean? It's, we're supposed to go home happy. But Devin wants the ball all the time. Right? He wants the ball all the
What's
time.
What's your sign, Devin?
Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Right, so listen. Ooh-wee. So he wanted the ball.
That's right.
He wanted the ball all the time. Now, which I know he was competitive, right? But at the same time, when he was at school, he went to school, he was fighting, right? So he's fighting. And then now, you know, in our community or whatever, I got to go up to the school. Man, me having to go up to the school in the middle of the day, you know, and especially if I didn't blazed, right? It's fucking like.
What the hell, right? Principal, never thought about that.
Right. So the principal was looking at me like dead in my eyes, like, what's going on in the house? I said, Devin, what happened? He said, the kid was about to hit me. I said, oh, you wasn't supposed to say that right now in front of the you know, but you want your kid to not get hit. So you right. say, if somebody's right. about to hit you, then you hit him, right?
Right.
So we left out of there.
Always throw the first punch. That's
he
what I was
threw
told.
The first yeah. punch. So, yeah, that's why he was in trouble. Huh?
I said, that's a must. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You heard that too. Brownsville, throw the first punch.
Throw the first punch. That's yeah. a must. Yeah, yeah, you got to swing first.
Get into an argument. You can see it's going to be a fight. Yeah. Throw the first punch.
Yeah.
So we left out of there, and I looked over at him. I said, man, you know, you playing games, man. You know, the kid was just talking, right? And I said, you know, you think you know how to just fight with everybody, so I'm going to take you to the gym, right? Unbeknownst to me, you can't just spar. The first day, what is the chances I'm going to find a kid for him to spar now what I know with Devin? So we take him to the gym, but it's a kid there that he's doing like some karate and the, you know, and he, but now he's doing the stand up boxing. So he's moonlighting between the
right,
two.
Right.
And so Devin comes in, we take him in the gym and I whisper to the coach and the coach looks at me like he got some fresh meat.
Right, you know what I'm saying? A little kid,
his first day. I'm like, so, you know, they puts on a thing, and it's Derek Harmon, if you guys ever want to ask the question. Derek Harmon, former, I don't know if Derek was ever a champion.
I don't think he ever became champion.
Right.
He's a good, tough fighter.
He's a good, tough fighter. He was the first. He works over at Top Rank. He was Devin's first trainer that day at that particular gym. They said, yeah, we spar. I said, okay. So they laced Devin up, and the kid, you know, I never forget because the kid had on some little Velcro shoes that little kids wear so parents don't have to tie their shoes up. Dev got on there, wah, 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 wah. Knocked the kid out of shoes, man. Promise you. Knocked the kid out of shoes. I was like, oh, what? We left the football field.
And it's the first day.
I said, what the fuck? Right after, he's, you know, now Dev wants to go do his normal shit, get some fucking, you know, whatever. Right. Go to the store, get a juice, get some candy.
Candy,
whatever. Right. And then Derek whispers to me, he says, the kid's a natural.
Some people are just that witty. It's great fighters.
Right. He said he's a natural.
Okay, tell me this. At what
very
age
few
was Devin?
They like that, but
at what age was Devin when you knew, all right, this is it. Stop my day job, focus on my boy, because this is going to be the one right here.
Probably when we got a gym. When he got his own gym.
He got his gym.
And that was like, fuck, what? How old were you?
I don't know. Little. How old was I?
Hey, little.
How old was Dev? How old were you?
Yeah,
10. He was younger 10? Than that. Nope.
I was probably like 10.
Because he turned pro. He did his amateurs first, started at Richard Steele.
No, that wasn't my first one. My first one was at Richard Steele. Yeah.
His first one was at Richard Steele. Then he got a chance to host. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I remember one time we got in the car and we went to San Diego for a tournament.
Arizona.
And Tim.
Yeah.
And it was a crazy feeling. It was like, it was me and you and Tim.
Marshall.
And that was it. And we had to fight. Like, we came to a town where they had, it's like we fought they guys or they group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole gym was against us. The whole town was looking at us like this.
Yeah.
So we stand there, you know, I was Zap Judah, so everybody knew who I was, so it was cool. He looking like, who you got? I'm like, what? I got my girl. So he about to wear something out in here. What? And he said, all right, let's go. So Devin fought this kid, like a popular kid. The kid was popular.
Yeah, nah, hey, I still know his name to this day.
He was popular. The kid came in with a big sombrero on. And I was like, all right, Devin. Don't worry about none of that. Go in there, just stay good, keep boxing, and just box him. Devin's like, all right. You know, Devin had a little squeaky voice. All right, all right, I got it. Yo, he wore this kid. Yo, the whole building was like this.
Yep.
Yo, how old is he? How old is he? I said, like, he his age. Same age. Cut that out, man.
Zab went to a lot of tournaments with me. And damn. Zab was Zab.
I would love to do that. Well, I was bullshitting getting high. I would love to do that.
Yo,
I would love to be crazy. I remember when I used to, when I was a kid, that's the best part of my life. Going to tournaments, wearing your jacket at your chair, your medals and your hat and stuff.
Between them, I've always seen epic moments, you know. And one of the times over at the Hit Factory, when you guys sparred, that time.
He said, cuz, he ready. Yeah, yeah. He was just, right? I said, you know what it was? I like the way he loved it. His enthusiasm to how he paid attention to, like, what was going on was different. You know, because we had other guys in there, kids in there, Tim and them. They run around doing this, doing that, playing with this, playing. But Devin was like this.
Student.
And I used to call him, cuz, that one right there.
I tell people to this day, nobody hit me hard as Zab to hit me.
Body shot, right?
Man, hit me with a body shot so hard. It was an uppercut to the body. I wanted to drop.
Okay. My first body shot I ever got hit when I went down. In life, I'm talking when I first started boxing.
Yeah, boxing.
I went down.
Make no mistake about it. You know, the greats, the legends, you guys did it the right way. You know, you didn't coddle him. You didn't baby him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He got to go in there and go get it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's times, of course, and even with the young fighters who look to want to get fighters to come on and help them get famous before they're famous. You know, we've been through that part, and it's better for a fighter to stay the course, you know what I mean? You know, do his program, you know what I mean? Versus trying to get people to come on board and to cheer for him. People are gonna come, you know what I'm saying? I've watched Devin stay the course, and now I see that, you know, he's getting some just due. And you, just like you said before, stay being a champion.
But that's why when young fighters come and they want to spar me and they want to be around me and everything, I don't go easy on them.
Oh, you can't. No one wants to be easy on you.
If you really want to, you know, make it to the top, you got to go through what I've been through. Listen, if you want to be around me, you got to go through what I've been through. You got to run.
I'm the champion. Even before I was champ, my mentor, Customato, he told the guys, the pros, do your best. I know he's a kid, but do your best. I spar, but like I'm fighting.
Yeah, me too.
Now you guys gonna say that right now on Hot Boxing that, because people say that you're not supposed to, and I've watched you spar many times. You know what I mean?
And
paying them too. You gonna pay a person? You gonna come in there?
Or you gonna
night
night?
What's the name? Yeah, you know.
I didn't see you go.
This is my thing.
Drop a lot of niggas in the gym.
Say night night. That's not true.
My job is this. I'm the boss, and your job is to kick your boss ass. And if you don't kick your boss ass, you're fired.
And I got it from him.
Ain't that something? You don't kick your boss ass, you're fired. You ever have a job like that?
One thing my dad installed in me since I was a young kid was, what you do in the gym is what you're going to do in the fight.
Yeah.
So if you be bullshitting in the gym, you be bullshitting and sparring, you want to play and spar, you're going to go in the fight and do the same thing.
Yeah. Got to get that respect out the gate.
Fighting is only about being smart. This is a smart man game. This ain't no tough guy sport.
Right.
Tough guys go talk funny at the end of the day. This is a thinking man's game. Only a thinking man is the best in this game.
Well, out of 25 fights, I don't think he's lost a round.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So in terms of, you know, and we getting paid. He happens to be out of his group, he's the highest paid in the lightweight division. You know, but politics and the platform, like a big platform like ESPN, will create a narrative like maybe this fight shouldn't happen. But fortunately for us, you know, we working hard, we keeping our nose to the ground, and we keep screaming for these big fights to happen.
See, I got one for you. What's your biggest worry with Devin? Overall, everything.
I'm talking about life.
You watching everything happen. What's your biggest worry?
That's easy. Is getting caught up in somebody else's dream. versus stand on yours, on his. You know, he spent so much time on his dream. You meet people that come along, and now they have a dream. You have a wife, she has a dream. You have these other friends you met, they have a dream, and the difference.
Talk to him right now. Look at him. Talk to him about that.
I talk to him all the time.
I like what you're saying right now. You know. I need somebody to tell me, you know, when I was going through my shit.
Yeah. But, you know, but he knows, right?
No,
you
know, I definitely
100%.
Know. That's what I focus on.
But what you have to do is validate as a champion that he don't owe nobody shit.
No.
You see what I'm saying? He don't owe that.
And so I did somebody. Some people feel survival guilt, you know what I mean? They say, why do I got all of this? They don't understand that it's ordained by God for them to have this. They think, you know, because it comes across easy to them. All he has to do is have fun and all this comes to him. But he has to know it's a different energy that gave you this. People think I'm a weird dude, but, you know, you're special. You're touched.
No, I asked him, just like I'm sure that you went through and you went through, like every other dad, I say, I look over at him. I said, hey, where did all these people come from? I said, who the fuck is he? She, all these people. Just the other day, it was, you know, it was
but
me and you.
But it's his journey. It's his test. Just like it was the prophets and all those guys' test many years ago. He's being tested by life.
Right.
Yeah.
This is one big school. The world is one big school.
Big school.
I would hope that he, of course, would stay focused on his dream and not of the course of his dream because he's meeting people, he has money and all the stuff that he tends to want to, because he's a good person, he wants to help their dream, he wants to be a part of the dream. So now he's adds people on to this thing, and I think it makes it harder. It makes it harder on you because he has something that he's been seeing for a long time and he's starting to see it, and sometimes you'll get derailed by meeting other people and fucking doing some other shit, Mike.
Life teaches him what his parents and humans can't. You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, 100%. He get charged up. As soon as it happened, I said, just like you, I said, what'd you do? I said, oh, the game and charge your ass up. Quick. You know?
The game turns him out. You know, he wants to be a champion. Something happened. He saw somebody, or you watched him. Somebody saw you, because I saw Sugar Ray Leonard in him. Somebody I seen made me want to do this shit. Well, Ali was the first one, but I saw Sugar Ray and Duran. I said, fuck, I know I want to do it now.
Hell yeah.
Who was the first person you seen in the gym that really inspired you?
Wilfredo Benitez.
Benitez.
I would definitely, would you say Zab?
For sure, Zab, yeah, Zab, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like,
in the gym,
yeah. Zab was somebody that I could touch, somebody I could go talk to, that I could call anytime I wanted to. So, like he inspired me a lot, and he was champ. So it was like, I was able to just, like, see this shit before it even happened. So I was thankful, always thankful for Zab.
Well, no story, in 1986, one day, I was hanging out, but I knew his father. So his father, man, come on, let my kids meet you. So I followed him in my car, and I met Zab when I was 20. How old were you back then when I was 20?
I was like 8, 6.
Yeah, I met Zab. He woke him up.
Yeah. Was Abba there?
Yeah, that's what he talked about. He ran into Abba.
Oh, okay.
It was like 4 in the morning. They ran each other, and we was home asleep. And my dad came in and, wake up. We get up. Come in the room. We like, oh, we in trouble. Something happened.
Oh, God.
And Mike was standing right there. He was like, I thought we was dreaming.
What's
like,
Tyson?
Tyson. Oh! It was crazy. It was like,
How did that impact you, though?
It's crazy. Like, right? So, what? We went to the gym that day. That you was in the gym. We was doing Mike moves. We hit him. Boom! It was trying to go crazy.
Mike always has. When you came to our gym, that was just crazy because you came in there and we went off of just inspiration and motivation by that day for I don't know how long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just that you even just came to the gym. And this was after you were.
Yeah, I understand what Devin mean by having somebody around you that you could see and touch and talk to. It was the same way for me. When I was growing up, I had, you know, Mike was there. I had Pernell Whitaker. You know, I'm talking to these dudes, and like Pernell was pound for pound the best in the world. I'm like, yo, Pete, yo, what's up with that? He's telling me, yeah, do this, do that, do that. I'm like, all right, running the mic, I'm a champ. He's like, yeah, do this, do this, do that. I'm like, all right. And other people are looking at me like, yo, you know Pernell Whitaker? I'm like, yeah, that's my homie. Like, you know Mike Tyson? I'm like, yeah, that's big bro. He like, damn, him.
It's crazy because I remember going to fights with Zab and the like fans mobbing him and, you know, me thinking like, damn, like I hope one day that they gonna mob me like that. And now I go to the fights and
you can't even go outside.
Yeah, like hey, Troy.
Thank you, brother. No, I need a rag. I need like a wash rag.
Love it.
Do they edit that out or do they just
Nigga, this is
edit. Nah, baby, we rolling.
Hot, I love this guy. Yeah. I love the way he thinks.
Said, do they edit that? No, it's rolling.
Hot boxing, baby. This is my show. I do what I want. Even though it's corporation now. I thought they were going to take away my dignity if once we got incorporated, but this is still me doing what I want
to
do.
Another testament to you being a boss, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, trailblazing this whole cannabis shit through, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's all about surviving everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we lost a lot. Like, we lost our brother. Zip should be part of the Zip. This should be Zip stuff right here, you know?
Zip was a bad motherfucker, wasn't he?
The best.
Right?
The best.
One of the greatest, boy.
One of the greatest.
Best.
Move.
Fuck.
Zip took, you remember? Well,
Zip took us
over there.
Yes,
Zip took everybody too.
Yeah, I don't want to start crying.
What'd you think when Zip brought you over Mike's house?
I remember Mike told me to shadow box. He said, let me see what you got. right? He said, but I was young, so I was nervous. I didn't want to shadow box just because I was nervous. I never met Mike Tyson before, so it was like, damn, Mike Tyson wants me to shadow box. And so, like, I just was standing there with my hands in my pockets. Mike was like, come on, man, shadow box. Let me see what you got. But I never did it. And I thought about it. It stuck in the back of my head like, damn, I should have just shadow box. I should have just shown what I should have just shown him what I had.
Right.
But I was nervous and, you know, I was starstruck. But, you know, it's crazy that how life work out.
Oh, life. We don't even know nothing about life.
Guess what?
We don't know nothing about
life. We see you now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we could play my highlights or some, you know, now you can see me on TV.
See you.
Exactly.
So, Mike, I've never asked you, and then it's a two-part question with Zab, but you don't speak much about your father. You haven't your father, or when was your father in your life, or you know, before Custom Model?
Peep game. I just finished. I'm making a. I finished just paying for a beautiful headstone for him. Yeah.
Oh, bless you, man.
Probably a month ago. Yeah.
Bless you.
Good.
Bless you. Yeah.
That's the beauty in me.
Right. Then even with Zap, as you and Abba going to heights of being a world champion and everything. Did it ever come a time that someone was trying to pit or come between you and Abba? And what did y'all do to stay strong through it all? Because I see you guys still
always. Out the gate, you know my father. Anybody know my father, they know how he is. My father, you know, he's an alpha male, you know. And out the gate, from young, upon winning Golden Gloves and doing all this stuff, he told out the gate, he said, it's always going to be separation. The higher we go, somebody going to try to slip in here and say, hey, don't worry about him. Come over here with us and do this.
Cause you to tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to always come between. Somebody,
I said, no. That's what you learned.
Yeah, cause you to say the same thing to me. Always worrying about somebody stealing me. I think going nowhere.
Yeah, I said my father that.
We have to have a contract for this. And I said, cause he didn't understand. I didn't understand life. I said, why would somebody want me to leave you? I'm not leaving. He said, people will offer you stuff. Cause he wanted to buy me a Cadillac, a car. And I said, I don't want a car. I just want to be here with you to know people will give you things and take you away. I said, well, I'm not going nowhere. This is my I never understood that. I said, why am I going somewhere? I'm staying here with you. But he said, I didn't understand what he was trying to do, but I understand now. He said, people's going to give you money and take you away from me. That story, but it's going to take me away. I said, why are you going to take me away? I didn't think I was worth anything, but he saw the future.
He's seen the value.
What age was it, 15?
When I first met Cus?
Cus, yeah.
12, 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kid,
very formidable years.
Yeah, I got him out of, as soon as I got out of jail institution, I went over, I started living with him.
Abba was different. Abba would do stuff, and then like we'd be with him and some shit pop off.
He had a family, though, father, street guy.
It was scary, though, because he would do street shit and then get back in the car. And Bob was like, no, this is
just
a story.
I love Abba. Yo, listen, he said his father was a motherfucker.
I swear, y'all. He would do street stuff, right? Get back in the car. We all in the car. He like, y'all know we together forever, right? That's it. That's the contract. He look at you. You know we together forever, right? Like,
Yeah.
So he never had to say, don't let yo. He would just tell us, people going to try.
Right.
But y'all already know what time it is. You know we didn't got, and we just watched him come in the car.
How many brothers you got?
It's 10 of us. Like 10 of us. So, you know, and he would tell us, like, you know we together forever, baby. Right? It's us. To the end of the time, right?
Yeah, listen.
We look at him like, you
know,
right?
Yeah, you know how crazy the cuss was? You know, you're in the tournament, you're talking to somebody with some, I don't know, somebody else's coach or something, just watched it, said, that was a great fight you had. Cusses go over there and say, hey, excuse me, sir, do you know this kid? Why are you talking to him? Right. Thinking everybody's going to steal me from him.
Right.
So I did the opposite because I always thought somebody was going to steal me. You know what I'm saying? And he had to be prepared. So if they stole me, then what would my king do? And you know what I mean? In my absence. So, you know, that's the cycle of life. Because I think as a parent, you try to prepare your kids to do better than you, to take care of you, God willing, just like you took care of them. And should they don't, because you understand that, you know, in life, it's all kind of different people. As parents, that's just what we do. That's just what you do as you choose, once you choose to be a fucking parent.
Exactly. You know, and that's the responsibility of a parent.
And that's why I seen you out at 5 in the morning, fucking world champion, you know, bigger than life, in the mist, rain, watching your daughter when nobody else would, motivating and talking to her, man. And I you know, that was one other time.
I see where she's going. I'm trying to prepare her.
Prepare her, right, exactly. And so with that, we started early giving him what the people were going to give him anyway, because he's destined for it, and having him prepared in a way that he has the millions, but he's ready for tens of millions.
No, you know, I see.
He's already prepared.
Yeah, I see. He's always still determined to fight.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because, you know, that wasn't part of the bargain, right? When I knew that when they said that he was a natural and he had talent and he got a chance to meet the greats and, you know, the Mike McCallums and you and Eddie Mustafa's and everybody, then him being successful or being rich wasn't part of the bargain. That was the part that I was going to do. Was going to be determined that, you know, he wasn't going to get backdoored from nobody. He was going to have somebody that was going to represent him and represent his word and not the word that was compromised by whatever position the manager was in, you know?
Just shooting straight. You've been doing a great job also and doing it.
Right. Yeah. That's one thing I can always say that I admired about you, because I watched you from day one, and you always, even though you was the top trainer, you went and got other professional opinions and stood right there and got the information. Then you moved on to another trainer and got more information. And you was never afraid to say, there's a kid over, we was living in Vegas, but you said, there's a kid over in Philly that's the number one, he must be the number. You was like, what? Pack the car, everybody, we going to Philly to find this guy. I used to watch him. They get in the sprinters and pull up in Philly, go in the gym and, where's Leroy Jones at? We looking for Leroy Jones. Is he here? Hey, how you doing? We the same weight. We want to spar. Like, I seen this, and I was like, wow, well, man, this is amazing.
Well, you know, the reason why I did that was, obviously, you were going to get good work. But what I learned getting older was, it was nobody tougher than nobody. It's no street or city that got no niggas that's tougher than no other niggas. And he had to know that. He had to know that it was a skill that he developed and crafted. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So once we went to Brooklyn, or went to Newark, seen Shakur many times. Shakur had been a bad motherfucker all his life. Right. So we went and knocked on his door. You know, we went and, of course, knocked on Gervonta Davis' door first time in Baltimore at his gym. Mm. The second time is when they sparred at Floyd's gym. You see what I'm saying? So it was about, you know, of course, we came up to the gym, up to Abba's, and you know what I'm saying? And did our thing in New York, you know? Him, we went to London, you know? Right. And I'm sure, like, with your daughter, right? You want her to play around the biggest people, so when that moment comes, that she's, it's just another day. So fighting someone that was a top dog in the United States for Devin, that didn't mean anything, even as a kid, because we went to knock on their door. We went to, and then, of course, got good work from all of them and got something to work on.
Got really familiar with them from sparring with them.
Right.
When I was coming up, I normally sparred with everybody that was the top guy.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like I know all the guys that's where somebody can't just come out the blue and say, oh, I'm the best, I'm this, I'm that, because, nah, brother, I would know you already.
Well, give me a secret then. Because everybody, what guy that you sparred that you thought was really bad, and then you knew once you did well with him in sparring, you know, you felt you was ready. Or you know, it might be two or three guys, but what guy?
Who's that? I don't know. Was it Carlos De Leon, Carl the Truth Williams? A lot of, yeah, I don't know.
As a young guy, how old was you when you sparred him?
I did 15.
15, yeah. Yeah. Mm. What about you, Cuz?
For me, boxing with Purnell. Boxing with Purnell and Junior Jones.
Junior was mean. Yeah. Did he try to hurt you in there?
Yeah, Junior tried to hurt me, man. He had a strong right hand, but he was good, though. He's a Brooklyn boy, him, Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Junior Jones was tough.
Yeah, these guys, man, you know, come out of New York. These guys you had to go against.
For me, personally, when I saw him in the ring with you, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Because I knew you wasn't gonna caught him. You
right,
was gonna,
yeah.
And when you came and told me, you said, he ready, cuz. He ready. You know what I'm saying?
Ready, yeah.
And then even, and that, I don't know, because like I said, it was a compliment to Mike, who said he saw Dev when he was 16 sparring Shakur. And then when you, because he turned pro at 17, but you had probably told me like when he was like 16 to cut him loose. Like I wouldn't turn him, when you said he was ready, you know what I'm saying? I kind of still.
I remember Devin was like 11. He went to Mount Charleston. His first time in Mount Charleston.
Oh my God!
And we were running. We was driving up. He said, "Where are we going?" And you know, up there you can see it. I said, "Look, we're gonna end up all the way up there." He said, "How are we gonna get there? We're gonna run."
Legendary mountain.
And that's when I knew Devin was he was full. He stayed with me the whole time. He did not stop. He stayed with me. It was cold. I mean, it was cold that day, cold, too. Yeah. He stayed with me the whole time, all the way up. You know, I was in top shape. I was going for a championship fight.
Yeah. I think he was fighting Amir Khan. I want to say he was fighting Amir Khan.
Yeah, and he stayed with me the whole time. Man, we had a good. And that's when I looked at it. I said, cuz, he ready. I said, he ready. He got that. Because that run is no joke. Anybody
you got to get some. You got to get some sleep.
No, Mount Charleston.
Oh, that's a monkey.
You can't just do that just after all night staying.
It's straight up the hill.
Up a mountain.
Like you start, and it's straight up, it's though. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no fucking.
It's 5 miles straight up.
Straight up. Yeah.
Oh, it's the hardest
part. And the air is thin up there. That shit's crazy. But I still run that run to this day when I train up for all my fights.
Hey, Mickey Bass told me, he said, cuz, I had to have the ambulance come and get me. He went up there one time, that run.
He had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Who? No. Mickey Bay, when he was running Mount Charleston.
I believe it. I have my, you know, rest in peace, my Uncle Jimmy. He was up there. He got out. Y'all remember Jimmy? Jimmy got out and said, I'm running a few miles with you. He started running. Next thing you know, he said, wait. He said, yo, Uncle, what's up? You good? You good? I was like, all right, pack it up. Let's go back down the hill. And by the time we got back down, he calmed down and he was good. But that mountain up there, the air is super thin.
Yeah.
I seen people get up there for the first time and think I'm in top shape. I could do this and do that. Oh. And get
it, it'll hurt the best of.
Lose it, brother. And lose it. They don't know where they at. They get the gas people.
So, is Miami? Is Miami? Because he just got up on Miami as being a spot to train, Now, what do you guys think? He says you lose hella weight. I'm like, he's like, because the humidity, right? Mm. So you lose the weight, good. And he says he wants this. What do you think, with you guys? Because you trained all around the world, right?
If you gonna go to Miami, wanna hang out there? You need to go to not Fort Lauderdale, but West Palm Beach and train. It's an hour away.
Well, I can attest to the story because I had a similar situation.
I already know.
I had a penthouse that I was staying in South Beach. I bought it when I had just won the title. I had a condo that I was staying down there, and my father didn't know. I kept it away from him.
So
we was training. We did our training camp in Hollywood, Florida. So every day, you know, when he first got down there, we had the hotels and everything in Hollywood. The camp was set up in Hollywood, but I had my crib on South Beach. You know, but I never let anybody know. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a couple of weeks go by now, my dad like, yeah, you know, where you live at? I said, you know, I live down the road far, man. I said, I'm getting tired. I got to, you know, that's why I got the drive and all that, you know. He said, yeah, come on, I want to see it. I want to see what you live in. I'm like, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to do today. Listen, let's do that tomorrow another day. He said, nah, let's do it today. So I'm like, all right. So I figured, let me take him with me. Let's detour. Yo, let's go some sneakers in the mall. We go to the mall. We do other stuff. Kill like 2 hours. I'm like, all right, you want to go back to the hotel? He's like, nah, I want to see your house. I'm like, God damn. So we go all the way to South Beach. He see my house. Anyway, long story short, we get up to the crib. He walking around. He look. He go. He opened the curtain. He go, damn, this is bad, champ. This is bad. I said, yeah, you know, I say, fuck. I said, yeah, I bought the black curtain, so if I close it, look, it's black in here.
Get some good sleep.
I don't see nothing. Yeah, I get some good sleep. That outside, I don't even get distracted by it. He said, come on, champ. He said, there's no way in America you're going to be champ of the world and stay champ of the world living right here. I said, why you say that? He said, open the curtains up. He said, look, brother. It was Nikki Beach and Opium, right? You can see all the clubs. I was, man, I had to get out of there. So I just tell you.
How long was you staying there?
I got away with it for about a good maybe 6 months. Yeah. I got away with a good 6 months because my training camp started at the end of my end of the fifth month.
Yeah.
So I kind of got away with it. You know,
I like it there because it's hot and you can lose weight.
Yeah,
I did too.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
that's what. Yep. That's what. Hey,
you're gonna lose a lot of weight. Don't worry.
Hey, brother, that's what makes you the good godfather that you are with him, because you always kept it real with him.
Yeah,
you know,
I got
what I'm
to. I got it's, to.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. And it's a lot of.
Gotta
got
stop,
a lot of.
We got to end this show because I'm getting really hot.
No. He know one thing about it is I'm always gonna keep it real with him. You know, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I tried it. I did it. I got up. I went running every day. I was running, but brother, it's not the run. It's not the hard run of dedication. It's the view, the environment, the lust, the temptation. As you, the more you run, the more it grabs you. You're like, oh my God, look at her. Hi.
See, but not, but I take that as like motivation.
I know,
motivation.
You put the hoodie on, you I take it motor, as your glasses. Yeah, you can do all that bull. I heard all of it.
I take it as motivation. Like, yeah, like, oh, I'm around all these.
I'm motivated. I run it down. I run it down Ocean Avenue.
We're talking the Rolls Royce.
But you hear me out real quick. I got to say this. I take it as motivation. Like, yeah, it make me want to run harder. Mm. When you see all these fine females and see all these nice cars, it make you run harder.
Well, I'm so different. I don't want to do this shit. I see that. Well, that's some people do that. When I see this, that takes a... Oh, fuck. Don't do it. Stick
home
with him.
Get rid of this run. I change my clothes and get outside.
That's just crazy.
Champ is getting hot, yo.
Next time we're gonna bring you some more strand. We got Beverly Hills Exotics coming out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, time. Now, what are you talking about now?
We're talking about some good shit to smoke on.
See, I didn't smoke. See, I'm not smoking because I got the champ here.
Champ got a few businesses too, though, that he could plug. Though he got Weedy.
Go ahead, man.
Weedy CBD. That's my CBD company. Dream World Transportation. That's my transportation company. You know, we working
what
on.
What you transferring, motherfucker?
I transport cars. Nice. But you know, we can transport anything now. Nice. You know,
it's so beautiful. It's still nice.
I just transported my my Rolls Royce here right now. So you know,
nice. That's what I used to do with my tigers and shit. I always have a. I bought a truck for them.
I just got a monkey, travel. Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why you want a monkey? They gonna beat your butt. They say same thing about a tiger.
That's like, not about
it's all about the energy. It's all about energy. I was lucky. I had the right cat. The other cat bit me. My lion bit me. He didn't like me. But,
I don't know if his monkey didn't been like with some like. Like his former people, like, was white or something, because he got different energy. You know what I mean? He already got, like, an attitude, right? So I come, and I know I'm a smooth guy. I just try to come with it. That motherfucker said, I said, no.
He don't like when you be moving too fast around him. He like to just, you know, you got to be
He mess with Champ.
You got to work your way.
Champ, he don't mess with nobody else.
They only have one.
Yeah, you just got to work your way. You got
to
give him
that's how Tiger though, too. It's one person, really.
Yeah.
I thought I was just going to rub his head or some shit like that, and he wasn't happening.
What kind of monkey, how?
It's a capuchin.
How big is it?
He's two, and he's like probably like this big.
Oh, it's a hell raiser. They're talking a lot of noise. They make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I was in my closet the other day, and all I hear is screaming like ah. I'm thinking it sounds like a human.
What does it eat?
Watermelon, a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Really?
But his favorite is like watermelon. He eat a lot of watermelon. Really?
How does his teeth look? He has fangs.
Yeah, he got fangs. See, he knows.
Capable of eating meat? Does he eat meat? Does he eat other monkeys? You know, some monkeys eat other monkeys.
Nah, he don't eat monkeys, but he eat like insects and
so dig right.
If you start feeding that motherfucker meat, I'm not coming over there. For real, that motherfucker.
Yeah, they're different. I saw a monkey. I don't know the name, but I saw a monkey grab another monkey, broke his arm off, and gave it to his other mate. Then they start eating him while the thing is right, eating him while he's alive. They start eating him. It's a nasty monkey.
Hey, Mike, before you guys leave, who do you want to see? Who would you like to see Devin fight next, or not even next? Let's say now.
I'd like to see Shakur Stevenson.
Well, he's at 130. So next, next, who it is?
Teofijo.
Yeah.
Teofijo.
All right. So you heard what Mike just said.
No, nigga, I ain't calling Teofijo. No, that's not his fucking name. I fucked up. His name is Mr. Lopez. Come on, man. Be nice on this show.
Not get away. But now, what about Ryan Garcia as a mandatory? If Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis don't make that big fight happen, should Ryan Garcia fight Devin Haney?
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely. I think a bigger fight is him and Tank.
So let me ask you this then. If you was Ryan Garcia.
Tank fighting next. Hey, he said he's fighting Garcia next.
No, but if you was Ryan Garcia, would you fight Devin Haney or would you fight Tank?
I'll fight Tank. Because I don't want to get beat.
Yeah.
I might get beat with this guy. I'm not going to fight him.
See, he's going to look at this. Like from the last fight, even right before Devontae even knocked out the last guy he was fighting.
He took punishment.
He was getting outboxed. He was getting boxed. You know what I'm saying? It took him a minute to get inside to catch the right shot to get him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was getting outboxed. So Ryan Garcia, look at it. Why fight a boxer? Devin Haney's a boxer. He's a clean, but he's going to put on a hard, smart fight for you. He figured maybe with Tank, he could get lucky and outbox him for 10 or 12 rounds, whatever. You know what I mean? Which makes it an easier fight. That's what I would look at. I would look at, why would I fight Devin? Devin going to box, move around.
So y'all heard what he said. Y'all heard what the champ said. They running scared, and that's what they doing.
Teofijo.
I called this Mr. Lopez. They're trying to fucking put words in my mouth.
You said it, Mike.
No, I did not. Why y'all fucking with me? I'm high.
They know. I like the Brooklyn boy, but it's still me over everything.
I know. That's what I was telling.
Hey, listen. No.
I was telling Lopez.
Make no mistake about it.
Denny, he's like my nephew, man.
No, but make no mistake about it. You two dudes ain't nothing to play with, and you're a historian in boxing, and you're a historian. Y'all don't fuck around. Y'all not going to be on here with him and telling him no bullshit. That's why I say that I respect totally about y'all. You know off the record, he's the baddest motherfucker in the business
right now. I've been wanting these motherfuckers. How long now, David? I've been wanting them so long.
As long as I've been wanting
them. When he was amateur, I'd be like, get ready. Y'all better get ready. Somebody's coming. He's coming. You know, people always say, what is this kid Devin Haney you keep talking about? I said, watch.
I tell my wife, I said, baby, don't you remember that kid, not that little kid. He's world champion now.
Champion of the world.
Really?
Right. That just undermines everything Bob Arum has said about Devin, no one knowing who Devin is, and him being as 10 other lightweights is better than him, and him needing a bigger fight or bigger profile. And I'm saying, Bob, my people, we got fans. We got people that's going to buy it, and we also got haters. That wants to come and watch Devin.
Like Mr. Aaron, but you're talking to a promoter.
Right.
Exactly.
That's absolutely. His job.
We got to let the world know that part because Devin's a promoter already. He's a promoter as well, but I think he's a promoter that's more transparent than the other promoters because he's a bad motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying, Mike? If a motherfucker wasn't that good, maybe he would play the politics that the other fighters is playing.
Well, you have to understand the job of a promoter. Well, the past promoters. These are whores. No, these are pimps. And they're taking bad advantage of the product because the product doesn't know how expensive it is. It doesn't know its value. Mm-hmm. So they milk the value out of it until one day, and sometimes it never happens, he might wake up.
See, that's the difference between me and a lot of other fighters is I knew my value, and that's why I didn't let no one just try to buy me out or take everything that I stood for, everything that I believed in. I became my own promoter.
He was on Showbox. He's a Showbox alum, you know. Shout out to Showbox. They did, that's that platform that you go to as a gladiator that you're willing to fight anybody and everybody, you know. as a young fighter. As,
ESPN was ESPN was for my time, right?
Yeah,
Friday night fights. Tuesday night fights.
Tuesday night fights for yours. Tuesday it was Showbox. Devin went on Showbox as a promoter coming from Mexico, where he had ran up like 17 fights or whatever, and then had all
12
fights. Yeah. Okay, and then went to Showbox.
Now you're the man.
Yes, no, sir. I think you did. Was it 12?
No,
it was 17.
12.
That's why I love Pop. He's a proud Pop. She's like, what? My boy is. Yeah, how does that feel to Pop? Like, how does it feel?
Amazing.
Man? Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
Mike asked me, was it exciting? Yep.
I guess, me and my wife
transition
always,
is like, dope, man.
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife always say, Zip was here. We have all the pimps, hustlers, and players. They be drinking at my daughter's match, getting other people intimidated. I'm like, oh, God.
Zip came with a different energy.
Don't give a fuck.
Different energy.
I love him
so much.
From
excitement to Hollywood.
Miss this man. I wanted him to see the success. He deserved to be. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he watching. He watching, homie. Yeah, he was talking about Dev, too. He said, yeah, sure. I said, I know.
The legend,
him, yeah. No joke, man.
So is it some kind of New York thing that if you're from New York, you just got to ride with New York, though? I know it's a Brooklyn thing like that.
Well, that's different. Is it?
No, that's
different. You say New York, you say Brooklyn. No, it's different.
So, give it to me real now, Mike.
It's just that we understand, especially if it's a different kind of New Yorker, but we understand the pain. You know, zip. Oof. Yeah. Beautiful.
Champ, yeah. Like, you know, coming from this different zones, like, you know, we came out of Brownsville. In that area, it's a whole different type of energy. It's different from the energy that's...
Than Harlem with Zip. Because
Zip is smooth. Harlem. That's why all the Brooklyn guys go to Harlem.
We always on Harlem. I ain't gonna lie. All the Harlem homies say, Zab was up here with us.
So that shit Brooklyn niggas take it, Harlem niggas make it? Is that some real shit?
No, it's just that Harlem guys is not...
they're not confrontational.
Not the majority of them not confrontational. Nigga, where you from, nigga?
Yeah, they're not
Harlem's like this. Where you from, brother?
Yeah, they smooth. They was fresh.
People.
They was fresh.
You browns and your strength. You come from home, they let's rob this nigga. They set you up doing a rob.
Yeah.
Unless you Zip. You know what I mean? Zip. Everybody loves Zip.
Everybody loves Zip. Coming from where we came from, we didn't have a lot. So when we see those guys with the fly shit and them jewelry and all that's food. That's
I'm
straight
a JC,
food for us.
They bring that shit out, man. Don't have that shit in the house. It's no good. Bring that shit out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was food.
Only very few people in the neighborhood. I always wanted to be that when I was a little kid. I remember I had the Robin Hood hat. And a guy who became my friend, he's died now, but he just took my hat and punched me in my face. And I said, wow, what was that about? And all my life, my brother became a brain surgeon and stuff. I became a street nigga. Ain't that something? It's got that life shit suck you, and it's just like being someone that's a young guy, that's an upcoming fighter. You just want to be in that life.
Life.
I don't know how to even explain it. Then once I got locked up, I went to Sparfany. I saw all the people from my neighborhood and my block in here who I thought disappeared or moved somewhere. They were all locked up. It was like being home locked up to me.
It made jail feel
I've been locked up so much when I was a kid because it was all my friends was there. No one's going to kill me or nothing. It was just, I don't know.
So that bullshit about boxing, the boxing business is worse than the streets? The boxing business is worse than the streets.
It used to be.
It used
not
to
be. Not anymore.
Not now.
Fighters are so much more enterprising than we were. Yeah.
Look at Devin.
Yeah.
Yeah. 21 years old, 22 years 22. Old, and rolling.
22 years old, my ego just sucked and absorbed me. I couldn't even make the right decision. I think my conscience was my dick at 22.
Brother, when you came over there to the gym and you said fighters are prostitutes and you said it in Las Vegas, I said, oh, shit. I said, Devin, did you hear what the fuck he said? And see, things like that you don't understand. We hang on to them, you know, and people around the world, we hang on to your words, man, because you mean so much to us.
You know what?
Brother.
The guy comes from our community. We think we're going to a guy that's going to, you know, do the right thing. So we go to the best deal until we realize, because we don't know our worth, until we realize
who we are.
We are the deal.
That's right.
You know, all why we got to go for the best deal? We are the deal. The best. Everybody should be coming to me.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Right. I was told when I was explaining that to Mr. Garcia, Ryan, he didn't want to look at it. He didn't want to confront the fact that he should be proud that he bought his mother a house. Those are the things that a fighter should be proud of. Not that they're great fighters. That's not going to last forever. He's not going to be a fighter for too long.
Right.
You know, it's about, this is a platform. Now you have this platform. Now what do you have to take advantage of it.
Most definitely.
The platform. That's all fighting is for, is a platform to the next level of life.
Mm-hmm. Having fame and fortune now, what's one of the biggest things you bought to this day that make you the happiest? That makes you the happiest?
That make me the happiest. So I done bought a lot of shit, I'm gonna be honest. That make me the happiest. That's a good question. I don't know. I done bought a lot. I done bought a lot of stuff for other people. It just make me happy to even have it to give. You know, have it to buy stuff. Have it to be able to buy other people's stuff. I can't pinpoint on one thing that made me the happiest, but I bought a lot of stuff that make me happy.
Yeah, I know. That's what I want to know. Like,
happiness is in the moment. Life is in the moment.
Right. You know? Well, that's good. Moment. And then when you look at it from heaven, I'm watching and I'm seeing to what makes them happy. And when you identify with one thing, then it's over with, you know? And then it's like, okay, a car makes you happy or a house makes you happy, yeah. Right? Then it's over with. Your happiness is over with when you got the car. But for him to say that a lot of things make him happy and it's not one thing and he's just happy and he's happy to have it to give, I mean, I think that's a
not meaning happy answer. Like to have a gift. Like when you see it, you're like, wow, I'm happy that I did that. Happy that I got that gift for whatever. Whatever's for you, like, wow, look, I did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. I didn't mean like
personal
gift. Yeah.
I know exactly what you meant. But like I said, it's just.
It's a lot. I know.
I buy a lot. And I'm happy. Most importantly, I'm happy that I have it to be able to buy stuff, to be able to give, to be able to, you know, give back to my people, or my people can rely on me and believe in me that if they need something or if they had a rainy day or something like that, then they could come to me and I know that I'll have it for them.
Dope. I was in the Dior store and I was trying to buy a shirt or something, right? So I'm talking to her. She's like, yeah. Oh, let me get the. Let me see that shirt right there. Like, oh, that shirt is nice. Oh, Devin got that. Like, let me see those pants. Yeah, Devin got that.
The fucking pirate. You got a pirate. Or
something? Yeah. Hey, but the girl in the store. She said, he got everything in the Dior store. I said, oh, that's crazy.
Hey, but you know what though, Mike and Zap, we definitely need to let parents and kids that do grow up, that didn't grow up, let's say, like you or like me. That grew up with an opportunity to chase their dreams, that they don't lose focus fucking around with them knuckleheads that don't have fathers in the house, that don't have mothers in the house, that don't have people that really care for them, and they listen to the streets, that bullshit in the streets, that little, you know, be down with me for a minute turns into a whole lifetime. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Right. So, yeah.
I was nothing until I saw Muhammad Ali and Spofford. I said, fuck! At 11 or 12. Fucking blew my mind.
Right.
Muhammad Ali what?
Smart.
He's in jail.
Oh, okay.
Children's jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in the children's jail.
And he just came to visit. No.
Oh, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali.
Blew my mind. Homicide was there too. Mm-hmm. Homicide was there. We were all kids. 78.
I was what, 1 year old? No, I wasn't born yet.
78.
I was born in next year. Crazy. Wow.
I saw a picture with you and Floyd when he was young. When you came to Vegas, what age was he, and when did you notice that he was like a
Floyd?
Bad motherfucker?
Special,
like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, when did you know that he was special?
He always had confidence. You know, he has always had confidence. But one day I was in, maybe it was Cleveland, I was at the National Golden Gloves, the National Championships, whatever. And he said, Mr. Tyson, he was very humble. Mr. Tyson, will you please watch me fight? And he really looked real good. I just knew him from his uncle and his father and stuff. And his grandfather cut my hair once in Hudson, New York.
You see, you knew right then that he was going to be
No. I knew his family before I knew he even existed.
Oh, okay.
I knew his uncle and
But the first time you saw him, did you know that he was going to be great?
I saw him fight professionally.
As an amateur.
I only saw him fight that once, that time, the Nationals, and he won. But as a professional, his Uncle Roger kept saying, hey, man, this guy's better than me. He's clocking me. That's just how he stays in the gym, you know?
That reminds me of me because...
He just stays in, even when he's not, he has, look, he, see, he's not, he's in the gym right now. What time? He's in the gym.
Yeah.
Even if he's not training, he's in the, his whole life is styled in the gym. If they got homeboys, they got girls, their party is in the gym. Yes, everything. The gym is our life. Whatever he do, that those four circles are there. It's involved with his mentality.
You ever seen somebody that's been in the gym and it didn't work out for him? Somebody that had the gym that just...
Gym rats.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. What was the reason why it didn't? Who was the person? Why it didn't work?
Because he was meant to teach people.
Deep.
Everyone have different roles.
He's deep. Not nothing. Right. Nobody's nothing. They just don't know what they're supposed to do yet.
That's deep.
Devin Haney?
Yeah. Sir,
thank y'all for having me.
See, he's very humble and kind and nice and that's and giving. And that's the sign of a killer in boxing. He's very kind and it's the,
what else would he pay me for? Anything. Now, you heard what he said. T-Ho, come on out the woodwork. And let's make a real...
Mr. Lopez, these niggas ain't going to give me a fucking
world champion. That's what we need to do. Ryan Garcia, you come out the bushes. Come out the bushes and you do what Mike Tyson did and you do what Zab Judah did. They seized the opportunity when they was mandatories. You knock it off now. You said you the king and we in L.A. right now.
There you have it here on Hot Boxing. I'm Zab Judah.
Bill Haney, trainer, father to the number one fighter in the whole world, Devin Haney.
The number one fighter in the world, Devin the Dream Haney.
And I'm Mike Tyson. I didn't say nothing bad to Mr. Teofil Lopez.
Knock it off. He said, T.O., come on out that woodwork. Now, we're going to play it back, and we're going to run it back 5 or 10 million times for you. Don't worry about it. Mike, you have been a blessing. You are a god. You are a god to us. And he said, T-Ho, come on out the book. And Ryan Garcia, you heard what he said. Tank Davis, now what do you think about Tank? Should we make, well, you said Tank needs to talk to make the fighter. Should Tank talk to Devin and then make it happen? Or is that a fight you want to see?
Well, listen, I would like to see, I'd like to see Devin fight all those guys.
All of them,
I like to see him fight all. I like to see him fight Stevenson. But Stevenson too low, right, in weight?
Yeah. Shakur too little right now.
Well, see, when you talk about Stevenson, now you want the whole world to vibrate. When Devin Haney and Shakur Stevens is going to be the biggest event
To be in
but
there.
Right
I
now
know.
Is what I asked
course,
you.
This is going to be
right
good.
Now, I'm saying, well, now we're talking about the future. But can we say now? Because we tired of talking about next. We confused.
Well, you should say who wants to fight me. You should just say who wants to fight me. Right now, say who wants to fight me. Because you got hundreds of millions.
Who want to fight the number one fighter in the world at 135 pounds? We waiting.
Devin.
We waiting.
The Dream Haney.
Tell him this. So you're the greatest fighter God ever created. Maybe.
I'm the greatest fighter God ever created.
Ooh.
You heard how hard that ever was?
They'll see. Real soon. The world will know.
That's it, baby.
Thank you, brother.
#22hours fans, season 2 of the American Nightmare podcast series is coming with a new story, a new mystery, and a new host. I'm Washington, D.C. crime reporter Paul Wagner. The vicious murder of Sherry Crandall inside the Maryland hospital where she worked has mystified me, the police, and her family for the past 2 decades.
He said, "Your mother was murdered." I physically couldn't hold the phone. I remember it falling out of my hands and dropping to the ground.
Join me as I investigate this unsolved murder with an unforgettable twist.
Ms. Crandall predicted that something violent may end up happening.
Murder in a Safe Place, Season 2 of the American Nightmare series. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to be the first to hear Season 2.